The beautiful shoreline, the calming sound of Lake Michigan, the glorious sunrise, the warm June afternoons. This is Wisconsin Lakeshore Luther Hostel on the campus of Concordia University, Wisconsin, June 11th through the 14th, 2011. The program, Dr. Paul L. Meyer, professor of history at Western Michigan University and frequent guest on Issues Etc. Hit the topic, the Crescent and the Cross, Islam and Christianity. Dr. Meyer will cover the historical background of Muhammad, the rise of Islam around the world, the beliefs and practices of this world religion, and what its future may hold. In addition, the four-day, three-night Luther Hostel includes interesting day trips to area attractions. For details how you can register for Wisconsin Lakeshore Luther Hostel, sponsored by the Concordia Bible Institute on the campus of Concordia University, Wisconsin, visit the Concordia Bible Institute website at www.concordiabible.org or phone 262-243-4343.
The president's position on the Defense of Marriage Act has been consistent. He has long opposed it as unnecessary and unfair.
It is very different than the position he took during the campaign when he said he did not support same-sex marriage and, in fact, supported traditional marriage of man and woman.
You know, well, man, I got my hope in Jesus Christ, buddy. And when you have hope on hand, you know, you can't be emotional about it. It's part of negotiation with the Cardinals. I have so much respect for this organization.
When we went back to Reform Christianity, we went back to the disciples, the apostles. If you want to go back to the beginning roots of Islam, you got to go back to Muhammad, who was not a peaceful man.
And Derek, the tea guy from Seward, Nebraska, who drives his truck through Iowa, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Michigan, and I rock Issues Etc. the whole way.
It wasn't too long ago I was talking with Pastor Matt Harrison, who's the president of the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod now, and he said something, you might have heard him on the air when we were talking with him a couple of weeks ago. He said, the most profound truths are simple truths, and it's really true. Now, we have, in the second hour of the program on this Friday, a rather complicated story that communicates a profound and simple truth, the incarnation of Christ for us sinners, and his path toward the cross. It's the transfiguration, and we're going to be talking about a transfiguration hymn, Jesus on the Mountain Peak, which is very simple and yet very profound. Pastor Will Whedon will be our guest. That's the second hour of Issues Etc. on this Friday afternoon, March the 4th. And as usual on Friday, we always preface all the good stuff with some of the, well, our listeners have called it inane. Sometimes it is. We hope it's a chance to respond to our listeners' many important questions and comments. Listener email and Issues Etc. comment line for the first part of the program. We'll pick Issues Etc. blog of the week. We'll have that conversation with Pastor Will Whedon on the Transfiguration hymn, Jesus on the Mountain Peak. And then, as usual, we'll play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. We've got four great soundbites for you to vote on. You can find them at our website, issuesetc.org. They're right there on the homepage, plus a way to vote. Or visit our Facebook fan page and vote there, facebook.com/issuesetc. As usual, you can join us through all 2 hours of the program, 1-877-623-MYIE. Talk back at issuesetc.org or send us a tweet at issuesetc. We listen to our listeners, whether it be the comment line or the email that they send us in such copious amounts. We like to respond as much as we can, and that's what we reserve the first hour of Friday to do all the time. Now, it's a busy afternoon around here at Issues Etc. I don't know if I heard Jeff. I don't know if I heard Jeff rehearsing. Did you hear Jeff rehearsing?
No, I haven't rehearsed at all.
I heard him on the phone with a lot of people, but I don't think I heard him rehearsing email.
A rough afternoon.
Makes me a little nervous.
Lots of edits for Craig.
So
Craig might not get out at 5:30 tonight.
But Jeff is a little bit like the now legendary Charlie Sheen. He's got one gear, go. I like that a lot. I don't know. He's got tiger blood too, but probably in a different sense because he's all about his Tigers, whether it be his Edwardsville Tigers or his Mizzou Tigers. He's one of the only guys I know that does have Tiger blood, except for apparently Charlie Sheen. But he's ready to go.
Speaking of Tigers, tonight going for the Edwardsville boys basketball team, 10th straight regional championship tonight. And we have a regular season, finished a regular season, one game below 500.
That's
We're
amazing.
Still playing for the regional championship tonight. So 10 in a row. 10 in a row, I'll be there. I got my orange and black on.
I didn't see the paws on the back of your car. Jeff usually has these magnetic sticker things, tiger paws on the back of his car, but I haven't seen them in a while.
My dad washed the car and he took them off and they're inside, not outside. I haven't put them back on.
What a he calls himself a fan. All right. To the email.
What about my dad? He should. The only thing my dad. I mean, is it enough for him just wash my car?
Isn't
Shouldn't
it
he
enough,
have to put things back where they were?
Isn't it enough that he mows your grass? Isn't it enough that he brings in your paper? That he takes your children to school? That he makes breakfast for your wife? I mean, come on.
My 76-year-old father. Yeah, right. Hey, by the way, have you noticed since Craig's been dating, he really does try to get out of here earlier. I mean, he's already telling me, okay, after the show, we got to do this. You know, he's
to go, man.
Yeah, my goodness. We had no problem staying an hour after the show,
We went out to eat the other night with some of our good friends from KSIV in St. Louis who were kind enough to take us out just as a token of thanks. And so we were driving. Craig rode with me down to the restaurant we're going to eat on Wednesday night. And I noticed, Jeff, and I don't have a very good sense of smell, but I noticed a hint of cologne on Craig, which to this point, I've only smelled when we first discovered that he was dating. But I noticed just a hint there of a cologne on Craig. Maybe it was my imagination. I don't know. But things have changed a little bit for him.
I don't really wear cologne. That's just my natural body scent, Todd.
Oh, really?
That's just me.
Your musk? That's your musk. All right. Hey, well, congratulations then.
Thanks to our good friend Tony Cabanellis for taking us out to dinner over at our flagship station, KSIV Bot Radio Network. We really appreciate it. Had a great meal. Lanawata Creek.
Jeff had a pork chop sandwich that can only be described as, I mean, how would you describe it?
Gargantuan.
It was tall. Gigantic. It was one of the tallest sandwiches I've ever seen. And all it had was bread and a pork chop. The pork chop itself was as thick as an ordinary sandwich.
No, it had some kind of sauce and cheese.
Oh, it did?
Yes.
And then he got a pile of... A plate. Of French fries that six guys sitting at the table didn't finish off. So, and that was the small order. I don't know what's going on over there at that place, but it was ridiculous.
Speaking of great eats, thanks to Jim Cruda, Cruda Bakery here in Collinsville. Some great stuff yesterday. What did you eat? I had the jelly donut.
Well, let's see. I had a little brownie after you guys left. I succumbed to temptation and had a little brownie. And then when I got home, I showed my wife the puncies or whatever they are called, these Polish things that he only makes around Lent time with all the – they're terrible for you, but they're marvelous. I promised my wife I would bring them home. I promised I would bring them home to her, and so I did. And in the course of that, I also ate one of the – he had a cinnamon sugar thing, and it had apples inside, and it was really, really good. I mean, it was absolutely great. So – yeah, thanks to Jim Cruda, Cruda Bakery in Collinsville, Illinois. What's the address again?
300 St. Louis Road, Collinsville. Phone number 618-344-1115, 618-344-1115. You know, like the Schwartz family, you got confirmation coming up.
Oh, yeah.
Easter, Cruda Bakery, Collinsville, Illinois.
And I mean, go there, but be prepared to stand in line because it's a popular place. But we have visitors who come by the studio here. We should always direct them when they come by to see us to go over and see Jim and Mary and the people at Cruda every single time. It's great.
Agree. Some email. Jamie, Canada. Blessings to you in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ. I'm a supporter of the show. In fact, I'm a member of the Reformation Club. And I must say, I find the strong and clear biblical teaching provided by Issues, etc., second to none. The very strong and insightful comments regarding the state of the church, the need for reformation, the evils of the church growth movement, and the like are well needed in this day and age for sure. Certainly you hit the nail on the head in dealing with that end of the spectrum of the error that surrounds us. My concern is that it seems you are perhaps reacting too far the other way, falling into a ditch on the other side of the road in an effort to avoid the ditch on the one side. It seems to me that the left wing of things is repeatedly and rightly attacked, while the right wing errors, a more sacerdotal view of ministry, lacking of proper pastoral discretion in application of doctrine, etc., out there don't receive as much or any airtime. I'm quite behind in listening to the show, so perhaps this is something that's been tackled over the past year or so. I've missed the shows that did. I guess what I'm saying is keep up the good work, but be careful that your obvious and infectious zeal for combating the errors of the left doesn't lead you to neglect giving appropriate attention to the other end of the spectrum. Perhaps my concern stems from my own journey in this regard, becoming more right-wing than I should have because of my concerns with the left instead of trying to find the proper balance and truly Lutheran middle road. Hopefully I haven't just superimposed my struggles onto you, but either way, such is probably always worth remembering. Thanks for the feedback, and thanks for listening in Canada, Jamie.
I understand what you're saying, and thank you for listening. although I don't see it as right and left and then finding the truth in between. And I think if you stop and think about it for a moment, you probably would agree that I see it as truth and falsehood. Now, are there falsehoods that may, I don't know, reside in the so-called right side of the camp? Absolutely. Absolutely. But what we're primarily combating is not bad behavior on the part of pastors or something like that. What we're primarily combating is false teaching. And false teaching always leads to false behavior in each and every case. The truth doesn't. But because the truth is put into the hands of sinful men, even men who believe rightly act wrongly. So I don't see it as kind of, well, there's errors on the left and there's errors on the right, and you go too far on one side and you err. And the goal is to somehow stay in the middle with the truth. That is kind of a spectral way of looking at the truth, where the goal is always to strike a balance between two things, or to relieve a tension or find a synthesis between two things. And I don't think that that is the and it's hard to rid ourselves of this, because we do have this thesis, antithesis, synthesis view of the world and of truth. And there are times when, I guess in a practical sense, you do that. But I think we ought to view truth the way that Scripture presents truth, which is there's truth and then there's error. And if it is true, you can't be too true. You can't go too far in the direction of the truth. You can't. Of course, if you fall into error, you can stray an awful long way from the truth in error. So to understand, this is how I want to present the sound teaching of God's word here, is that there's truth and then there's error. And if one is faithful to God's word, you just can't be too faithful to God's word. Now, I'm not saying that in the human camps that exist, there aren't people on the right side who I think hold fast to the truth who don't err. They do. And we'll try and be diligent to deal with that. You know, we do that with regard to secular politics all the time here on Issues, Etc. We strike both at left and right, and we should probably, in those two human camps, cover both bases when it comes to matters religious as well. Thanks for the suggestion. Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you, issuesetc.org, and click Find a Church.
Imagine SteadfastLutherans.org as the internet version of your neighborhood pub. Your neighborhood confessional Lutheran pub, that is, where the finest in Lutheran conversation is going on at every table and at the bar, sometimes contentious, but always informative and unabashedly Lutheran. We're only serving Wittenberg Ale. We even have a guy named Norm. So check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.org. We'll save a seat at the bar for you.
Independent and in the black for 2 years and running, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Gloria Christi Lutheran, Greeley, Colorado. St. John's Lutheran, Rosemount, Minnesota. Trinity Lutheran, Waltham, Minnesota. Trinity Lutheran, Fredericktown, Missouri. Zion Lutheran, Gravelton, Missouri. Christ the King Lutheran, Billings, Montana, Redeemer Lutheran, Nashville, Tennessee, and Zion Lutheran, Douglas, Wyoming. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. A little bit later in this first hour, Issues Etc. blog of the week. We'll do a hymn study on Jesus on the Mountain Peak. It's a Transfiguration hymn in advance of the church's celebration of Transfiguration. Pastor Will Whedon of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hemel, Illinois. And then we'll round off today's program playing, as we usually do with you, Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. Next, a suggestion from the Issues Etc. comment line.
Hello, my name is Thomas Rowell, transplant from Minnesota to Oklahoma. I'm in a confessional Lutheran wasteland, and I wonder if we may have a program sometime to discuss what we're to compromise as Lutheran lay people in attending churches that have really fallen prey to the whole growth maneuverings and the movement, and alienating themselves from the historic liturgy, leaving those things behind, and kind of blend things of the culture and, you know, the stuff that we talk about a lot. I'm a confessional Lutheran, and when you're stuck in a wasteland, you have a family. You could drive an hour to find a confessional, real small church that's dying, but there are very few and far between, and just really non-existent here. So I think it would be great to have a program on us confessional Lutherans that are out here trying to figure out what to do, because attending these churches that have left the ancient liturgy, you have to plug your nose, and I tend to find myself just being so judgmental and shaking my head and just dismayed at the events that are taking place in the service. And we attend, but it's just never fun, and we leave disappointed and discussing all of the things we disagree with. And maybe that's just what we need to do. Do we commit to that? Just lost in a world of dismay and a desolate land of lack of Lutheranism, confessionalism. Thanks a lot.
It's really a sad commentary on the state of affairs in much of American Lutheranism, that someone who's a layperson who simply wants to remain faithful to Scripture and the Lutheran confessions cannot find in their immediate area a Lutheran congregation that wants to do the same. That is a sad commentary on the state of affairs. And if I could speak in particular about the state of affairs in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, there are places where, and you know, our listener is not the only one we hear from. We hear from many others who listen to this program, or they follow confessional Lutheranism via the internet, and they say, I just can't find it. I can't find it anywhere around me. I wish I could, but I can't. Everywhere I go, the sign outside says Lutheran, and when I get in there, they don't even know what the Lutheran confessions are, not even the pastor sometimes. Or if he does, he kind of scoffs at them, and their practice and their preaching and their prayers and everything show it. So you ask how much you should compromise. Nothing. Compromise nothing. But what do you do when you have few or no choices? What do you do with that? You shouldn't have to compromise at all. I would think the first thing you need to search for, I mean, you have to prioritize. What is it that my family and I need on Sunday morning above all? You shouldn't have to go into church and hold your nose, as he said, for all of the nonsense that's come to replace sound Christian teaching and practice. You didn't have to, but in his case, at least for the time being, he's going to have to. What do you do? You prioritize what it is your family needs. They need faithful preaching. That is, God's word rightly divided in law and gospel that is Christ-centered and cross-focused every single Sunday. They need the nourishment and the strength that comes from Christ's sacraments, rightly remembered, rightly instituted, and administered, including the forgiveness of sins and absolution. Now, again, it's a sad commentary on the state of affairs that there are a lot of congregations that say Lutheran on the sign. Well, you can't find those things. But you say, can I tolerate, and that is all you're going to be able to do, can I tolerate the sappy music, the stupid prayers, the vacuous nonsense and fads, if the pastor is still preaching God's word divided in law and gospel with Christ and his cross at the center, if they are still giving me Christ's body and blood to eat and drink for the forgiveness of my sins, can I? Should I have to? No, but can I? Yes. Now, I will say this. If you go into congregation, you can't find faithful preaching or administration of the sacraments. I don't care if it says Lutheran on the sign or not. Don't go there. Don't tolerate that. And I would dare say that if you actually have to go down the road to a congregation where you won't be able to partake of the sacrament, but they will preach God's word faithfully. I don't know, maybe it might be a conservative Presbyterian congregation. It might be something, you never know what you're going to find there. Where they will rightly preach God's word faithfully. Of course, you will not be able to partake of the sacrament. That may be where you have to go. When the Lutherans won't be Lutherans, sometimes drastic measures are called for. But this is, again, I mean, this is, breaks my heart to hear listeners like this say, I just can't find Lutherans who are Lutheran anymore. Maybe it is increasing your range. Maybe it is calling a faithful pastor you do know in the area and saying, look, do you know any place nearby here? Maybe near has to be expanded to mean not just an hour's drive, but maybe more than an hour's drive. It's worth it. It really is. What else do you got to do on Sunday morning? Right? What's the highest priority on Sunday morning? But, Jeff, we hear from people like this all the time, don't we?
We sure do. Hey, well, before I say something here, will you explain what a circuit is in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod? What is a circuit?
Yeah, the basic unit of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, contrary to what many at LCMS Inc. believe, is not the synod as a whole, but the congregation. The basic unit is the congregation, the self-sustaining and faithful congregation. These congregations band together in their local area into what's called circuits, usually, you know, 10, 12 congregations that act together, sometimes in cooperating in various things. They are in altar and pulpit fellowship with one another. That is, they believe, teach, and confess the same things, or at least they should. They don't always, but they should. And then those districts together, I mean, those circuits together comprise districts, which are geographical areas. And then the districts together comprise the greater mass, the Missouri Synod. And that circuit is kind of the first level, congregational level, where congregations exercise their fellowship together.
The reason I have to explain that, I think our regular guest on the show, Pastor Wheaton, has a great idea.
Okay.
If our district presidents claim they're kind of neutral on issues like the role of women in the church, the doctrine and practice of close communion, and worship, we don't. We like liturgical, we like contemporary worship. If they're neutral.
Which they're not, but go ahead.
But if they truly are, then...
Which they're not, but go ahead.
Let's put the best construction on them. If they truly are, then why don't we ask them to make it a priority to have one faithful, confessional, liturgical, Lutheran congregation in every circuit in their district?
That's a great idea.
I mean, yeah. if they're neutral,
and they got no problem with these backward, dying congregations who are clinging to these outdated things like, you know, faithful communion practice and faithfulness to the confessions and faithfulness to the historic forms of worship, they really shouldn't have a problem with just having, one faithful congregation in each circuit.
It's a place to start.
Yeah, it is. And then it would solve a problem for our listeners. You know, he could call his district president and say, dear district president, this is what I'm finding around me. Congregations that say they're Lutheran but aren't. And the district president may say, well, you're going to have to drive a little farther. Or here's a congregation you didn't know about. It's kind of tucked away, hidden someplace. But it's sad to say, more likely than not, it's like, well, what's your problem? They say Lutheran on the sign, don't they? And there you got a case of a faithful layperson who knows better than a district president.
And if he refuses to say, that's a great idea, and I think we should implement something like this, then you know he's not neutral.
Right. And Lord knows, Lord knows many of our district presidents have been working really hard to make sure that there's more than one congregation that is soft on all those issues in every circuit.
Here's an email from Alan. He says, your broadcast is one of the highlights of my week. Keep up the great work. He's writing in regard to the program we did on the Pope and the Big Bang Theory with Dr. David Menten. And he says, the headline from Reuters indicates that the Pope believes that God is responsible for a Big Bang. However, I didn't read any direct quotes from him promoting a Big Bang Theory. And then he says, then he went back and listened to the homily that was quoted by Reuters, picked up by Fox News, where we got it from, and MSNBC and CBS. It says, Allen says, the official English translation of the Pope's Epiphany homily is here. There's neither reference to Big Bang nor evolution. Apparently, Reuters et al. Have incorrectly summarized the Pope's position. Therefore, to avoid the appearance of slander, will you correct / redact the inadvertent incorrect comments about the Pope by Dr. Menton on your recent broadcast, writes Allen.
Well, we don't need to redact the comments made by Dr. Menton because they were accurate. What was inaccurate was the headline. The conversation that we had about what the Pope professes and teaches and his official teaching in the Catholic Church, according to the Roman Catholic Catechism, or the Catechism of the Catholic Church from 1995, if I'm not mistaken, is that they do believe in a theistic evolution. And as late as 2004, they accept the theory of a Big Bang. And this is from a document called Communion and Stewardship, Human Persons Created in the Image of God from July 2004. And these extreme ages of both the Earth and the universe, although they say, look, you can't really learn anything spiritual from it, but science has proven it and it's irrefutable. And then they say, and I'll quote here, converging evidence from many studies in the physical and biological sciences furnishes mounting evidence and support for some theory of evolution to account for the development and diversification of life on Earth, while controversy over the pace and mechanisms of evolution continue. And that's their teaching. There's no doubt about that. What was wrong was attributing to the Pope's homily, that particular one, the statement about the Big Bang. But sad to say, he believes it. We'll be right back.
International human rights attorney and law professor Dr. John Warwick Montgomery on the importance of issues, etc.
Before settling in England and France, I had my own Christian radio program for 10 years in California and 2 years in Washington State. I was also a regular for over a decade on national religious television. In a word, I have had a great deal of contact with evangelical programming, both good and bad, and my judgment in this area is probably worth something. In my opinion, Issues Etc. is one of the very few programs on Christian radio willing to discuss tough questions with solid theological answers. I consider it a great privilege to be able to appear on the program regularly, and I commend it to every serious listener.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a tax-deductible gift today. Donate online at issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Defending the faith, teaching the truth. Issues Etc.
Old theology, new technology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Pro-lifers achieved a big victory in England. The High Court of UK ruled against dropping protections for women who take RU46. The abortion industry wanted to send women home with the abortion pill. Normally, they're required to stay at the abortion mill until the abortion's completed. Chemical abortions often have serious complications. They're notorious for not completing the abortion. This results in ongoing bleeding and a high risk of infection. If pro-abortion activists had prevailed, young girls at home alone wouldn't know when the pain and bleeding was so great they should seek emergency medical treatment. This would have put women in danger, not to mention the innocent baby who's killed. Considering the hostile environment for unborn babies in UK, we truly thank God for this victory.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Any of your listeners out there that follow the Message Bible, burn the thing. It is awful.
They look to their own subjective feelings. It sounds like they're already practicing more idolatry than they could ever learn from the Muslims.
When I've got that wafer in my hand and I say, this is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, if it doesn't become that until I put it in your mouth, then I'm not really speaking the truth when I'm holding it in my hand.
Well, I'm a Lutheran blogger. I've got golden fingers, and I'm a prior everywhere I go. I blog about Jesus, and I blog about truth at $0 a show.
Little foretaste of the feast to come, so to speak. Issues, etc. Soundbite of the week coming up here in about an hour and a half on issues, etc. Four sound bites that we'll play for you, and then as usual on Friday afternoons, after you listen, you get to vote. 1-877-623-MY-IE. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc, or you can listen at our homepage, issuesetc.org. Vote in advance there or at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc.
Pastor Tucker from Gillette, Wyoming, just sent an email. He says, Jeff and Todd, we do have faithful confessional churches and circuits within our districts. It's called the Wyoming District. That's pretty good.
I like those guys in Wyoming. Yeah. Of course, in Wyoming, you must bear in mind that their definition of near is very different from the rest of the country's definition of near. I mean, near in Wyoming can mean 100 miles away. That's near. It's a relative term. But there are pastors and people who will make that trick. They'll make that trek on Sunday morning because, after all, two things. What's more important on Sunday morning? And what else do you have to do? So, you know, if you spend an hour in the car both ways to receive the most important thing in your entire life, you'd drive an hour to go see grandma if she was laid over at the airport, wouldn't you? You drive an hour to pick up important medicine for your kids. You drive an hour, heck, you drive an hour to go shopping, wouldn't you? So, do the math.
Some people drive an hour counting traffic to work every day and back.
Yeah.
But you have to admit, Wyoming's a little more scenic for a 100-mile drive than Illinois or Missouri or Kansas.
Parts of it are more scenic. The western side of the state is very scenic. The eastern side of the state is Nebraska. So, yeah.
Wow, we're going to get some email on that one. Speaking of faithful Lutheran congregations, people looking for a church home, go to the Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Keith in North Platte, Nebraska. Concerning the rejection of the true presence in the Lord's Supper, could you comment on whether or not, for example, Baptists who reject the true presence receive the body and blood of Christ? If so, do they receive it to their condemnation? If not, is the presence and efficacy of the supper then dependent upon our faith in what we believe? Thanks for the question and the email, Keith in Nebraska.
The short answer to your question is, the promise, the presence, the efficacy of the sacrament is never dependent upon what the administrant or those who receive it believe. It never, ever is. Now, the question with regard to church bodies and confessions that practice a supper, we won't say it's the Lord's Supper yet, that has yet to be determined, that practice a supper is not a question of what anybody believes. It's a question of two things. Have they retained the institution that Christ has given in both, and this is very important, in both its form and its content? Without the right institution of the Lord's Supper, it's something. It's a supper, but it isn't the supper. Proof from Scripture. Paul tells the Corinthians that when they're coming together, they have so garbled the institution of the Lord's Supper in both its form and its content. He says, it is not the Lord's Supper you eat, but your own supper. You have robbed yourselves of the Lord's Supper by garbling, toying with, or overshadowing the form and the content of Christ's institution. What makes the Lord's Supper? Only Christ's word, period. By the way, excellent conversation earlier this week with Dr. Scott Murray of Memorial Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, on a receptionist view of the Lord's Supper. And he does a marvelous job of talking about some of those issues. Now, here's the question. Let's take the Baptists, for instance. The question is, do they have the institution? Have they retained the institution? If they have, then they do have the Lord's Supper. And because they deny the presence of Christ, they eat to their judgment. I didn't say damnation. I didn't say condemnation. I said judgment, because that's the word that Paul uses when he talks about the Corinthians eating to their judgment. Now, do they have the institution? I would say in most cases, I mean, most cases I know of, in the case of the Baptist tradition, the answer is no, for two reasons. They have changed the form of the institution, not the words, but the elements. They do not administer bread and wine, of course, according to Christ's institution. They institute bread and something else, usually grape juice. So they've tampered with the institution. Number two, they also explicitly deny in what they teach about the Lord's Supper the very words that they say. Christ says, this is my body. They teach, this is not his body. It's not what any private individual believes. It is changing the institution by changing the meaning of the words, which is something they plainly do. Now, if you want a couple references from the Lutheran Confessions on this, I'll just give you – just go to Formula Concord, Solid Declaration, and Article 7. And look at, if you're writing it down, look at 16, which is what makes the sacrament. Let's see here. I got it right in front of me. Look at 32 and look at 75. 16, 32, 75 in small called articles. I'm sorry, not small called, solid declaration, Article 7. And they're dealing with the question of, do they have the supper? Are they receiving the supper? And they answer those questions in their context, and they apply very well in our context as well. So there is such a thing as unworthy eating, even among those who might otherwise deny the Lord's Supper. And then there are those confessions that so deny the institution, its form, and its content that they cease to have the Lord's Supper altogether. They have some kind of meal, but they can't. No one can call it scripturally the Lord's Supper anymore.
Here's an email from Pat regarding your conversation earlier this week with Mark Pearson on answering objections to miracles. Pat says, the God of the Bible claims to be the creating God of the universe. If that is so, then he is the one to establish the rules of his creation, and therefore the one to set aside those rules. Of course he can provide miracles, those events which cannot happen according to the regularly established rules. Christ established his bona fides by doing miracles, healing, calming storms, etc., which only the God of the universe could possibly do, concludes Pat.
And that's quite true. Here I might quibble a little bit with the definition of miracles that God somehow suspends or sets aside the ordinary rules. I would prefer to talk about, because the Bible doesn't explain how God does miracles with respect to the ordinary laws of the universe that are his. Someone might say, well, he violates his own rules. I don't know. He sets them aside? Doesn't say that either. He transcends them? I think maybe that's the best way scripturally to think about what a miracle is. It is when God transcends the rules that ordinarily apply to everyone. And, you know, people ask, how did Jesus walk on water? Did he defy gravity? Well, he didn't, because he's walking on the water. He didn't defy gravity entirely. Did he change his body mass ratio to its density so that he floated on his soles of his feet? I don't think so. You know, I think there's a very simple kind of Christ-centered, cross-focused way of thinking about how Jesus walked on water. He had to. If he didn't walk on water, he would have drowned. And Jesus can't die drowning in the middle of the ocean. He's got to die on a cross. So wherever he's got to go, whatever he's got to do, nature will submit to his purpose to die on a cross. So if walking across the Sea of Galilee is something he's got to do, and of course he can't die in the Sea of Galilee, he's got to die on the cross, then nature itself will submit to that purpose. I can't explain how it happens, except that there's no way in the world that he is going to drown if he's got to die on the cross.
This is Paul in Milwaukee. At the beginning of the Thursday roundtable, Pastor Wilkin alluded to a modern failure of nerve regarding affirming the authority and accuracy of Scripture. Last Friday on the Friedrich Nietzsche program, Pastor saw at least some of modern man as tourists at the edge of the black godless abyss, casting pennies into it rather than squarely facing it. Do we need an Issues Etc. program on modern failure of nerve? Edwin Friedman, a rabbi deceased, wrote, "A failure of nerve, leadership in the age of the quick fix. Has church leadership been sabotaged by a herd mentality, overemphasizing a passive togetherness, hoping that massive data will make decisions for it, rather than exercising an ethic of mature courage? A pastor and lay leadership or two come to mind. Does the Bible speak of failure of nerve? Paul has his Christian soldier and his scriptural armor. I'm confident we can apply better than 1 Samuel 4, Be strong and quit yourselves as men, O ye Philistines. Thanks for listening.
And thank you for your comment. Well, yes, I think the Bible does mark up as one of the greatest vices. One of the sins that only Christians can commit is a failure to trust God the way we ought to, a failure to trust His Word, and a failure of nerve. This is why we're called to be faithful. This is why we're warned against the spirit of fear. We have nothing to fear whatsoever. We can speak with boldness the truth of God's Word in any and every context. It's a marvel that so many pastors cower in fear and withhold that from their people. Yeah, the Bible gives those who believe it one thing, at the very least, among all the things it gives, courage. When we come back, more from our listeners. Remember, the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. The latest edition of the online Issues Etc. journal is out. It contains an article that I've written titled The Theology of Jesus. What's the connection between the Church's Confession of Christ and her Confession of the Trinity? Find out with the latest Issues Etc. journal. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor Mason Beecroft writes about the false promises of Pop American Christianity. Get your copy of the latest Issues Etc. journal by sending your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page and click Share This.
No weather reports necessary. We broadcast to the world. You're listening to Issues Etc.
No gimmicks, no shticks, just straightforward preaching and teaching in accord with Scripture and the Lutheran confessions. By the book liturgy, right from the hymnal. No glitz, just Christ crucified for sinners like us. We're Grace Lutheran Church in Racine, Wisconsin. Come receive God's gifts with us. Find out more about us at GraceLutheranRacine, that's all one word, .net. And like you, we're proud supporters of Issues Etc.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and go to the Listen On Demand page. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. On Demand audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week. issuesetc.org, and click Listen On Demand.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. It's Friday afternoon, March the 4th. I'm Todd Wilkin. In just a few minutes, we'll pick Issues Etc. blog of the week. And in the meantime, more listener email.
Here's an email from Becky. She said, I was listening to last Friday's Issues Etc. show and wanted you to know that you were describing me. I began listening to Chris Roseborough's Fighting for the Faith, then added your show, The God Whispers, Table Talk, and Pastor Swirla's audio sermons, and finally reached your site to find a confessing Lutheran church near us. The Lord graciously led us to Grace Lutheran Church in Racine, Wisconsin, just down the street from our old non-denominational evangelical church. I cannot believe how much scripture we just get in the liturgy. My word, it's just like you described on the show. Compared to what we would get at the other church, it's a feast, and they cram more scripture, hymns, the Lord's Supper, and Christ-centered cross-focused preaching into 60 minutes than other churches can do in 90 minutes. I tell anyone who will listen, it's like being given the choice between an all-you-can-eat steak dinner and a bologna sandwich. At first, I would cry through most of the service. I was just so overwhelmed with hearing the gospel at every turn. Now I am more composed, but still cannot get over what a treasure there is in the liturgy and confessing Lutheran churches. I was told all my life that Lutherans were liberal, so naturally never considered attending a Lutheran church. Now I am happily educating friends on the amazing treasure they can enjoy by going to a confessional Lutheran church. Please spread the word among the lifelong Lutherans that they have an amazing heritage that they should thank the Lord for daily. Thanks for your good work, writes Becky in Wisconsin.
You know, no one appreciates a good, solid, basic, square meal like someone who's been starved. No one appreciates it like that. And then at the same time, is it just mind-boggling that those who have a pantry full of good, healthy food choose rather to ignore that or sometimes in some cases empty the pantry out, just throw it all away and fill it with junk food and then bring it out and say, here you go. This is all we got for you. Sorry. And pretty soon everybody's, their blood sugar is through the roof. They can barely stand up on their own 2 feet. They're constantly in insulin crash. Their cholesterol is through the roof. Their lives are being threatened by what they're being fed, not in any way helped by what they're being fed. And then some of them have enough sense to actually say, I got to find someplace else to eat. This is killing me. And when they finally do, they discover this embarrassment of riches that has been there all along, but in some cases has been intentionally hidden from them. Well, you found it. Stick with it. Godspeed to those who are still looking for it, too.
Here's a transfiguration hymn from James in Illinois. Someone pointed out to me that Moses and Elijah are good representatives for all believers when Christ's glory is revealed again. Those who have died, Moses, and those who do not die, Elijah, before his return.
That's interesting. I hadn't heard that one before. I guess I always want to go with the simplest explanation, which is these are two men who have had, as Pastor Whedon, I think, points out in a conversation that's coming up here, I'm sure he will point out, these are two men who've had their own exoduses, and they're there discussing with Christ the exodus. This is the law and the prophets. I like that simple explanation, but I think they're there for a whole panoply of reasons. You know, that's the amazing thing is, the transfiguration is not to denigrate the listener, but the transfiguration is not about why are Moses and Elijah there. And that's what Peter wants to know. The transfiguration is why is Jesus there? And that's the only answer God gives him in the transfiguration.
It's a quick email from Paul. We've been having a rather interesting conversation on Facebook regarding hell and damnation, and one guy made the following comment. Perhaps you could address this sometime. It seems to me that most of the fervent evangelism and mission activity that I did and saw done in my youth was fueled by this very doctrine. Those who had not heard of Jesus and or had not accepted him as their personal savior were going to spend an eternity of unbelievable suffering in hell. If you do believe that functionally and not just doctrinally, it can drive you nuts. As one previous post said, wouldn't we throw all caution, costs, and social rules to the wind and frantically tell everyone we could about Jesus? I've lived in that environment. It's not fun. And ironically, people with that mindset end up acting very unlike Jesus. I don't see him frantically running around telling people that if they didn't accept him, they would be tortured forever. Previously, I would have never considered annihilationism. To me, the scripture was quite clear on the doctrine of eternal torment. However, once I started studying it, there's a strong case to be made that what the Bible teaches is eternal permanent destruction, not eternal torment. Now, this is the quote from this blog post or this Facebook post. To me, this view fits much better with the whole tenor of the Bible, the nature of God, and although it doesn't give one warm and fuzzy feelings, it's certainly easier to digest than eternal torture.
But the problem is the Bible does teach eternal torture, and as difficult as that is to digest, it does. Christ himself teaches where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched, weeping and gnashing of teeth, outer darkness. The book of Revelation talks about those who are cut off from Christ being tortured in the presence of the Lamb for eternity. Now, is that a pleasant teaching, past or present? No. But let me offer you another alternative. You say, well, I didn't like, or the writer says they didn't like this kind of, if I don't save them, they're all going to die motivation for evangelism. Instead of denying eternal punishment and hell in favor of annihilationism, that's another problem. The problem isn't the teaching of hell. The problem is this teaching that if you don't save them, then they will die. God cares more about saving the lost than any Christian does, than any pastor does. He cares more, and guess what? He can get it done. He knows exactly what he's doing. In fact, he's chosen before the foundation of the world those who will be saved, and not single one of them will be lost. Not a single one of them. No one can snatch them out of my hand. So there's no frantic running around. There's no big hurry. It is always be ready to give an answer for the hope that is in you. And believe it or not, God will send you people that are filled with questions so you can give that answer. Let God worry about bringing the people. Let God worry about getting it done. You just be ready to profess Christ whenever the opportunity comes up.